If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, again this week we're out of the 9th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, and we're going to begin reading with the 23rd verse of that chapter, and this is what it says. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in glory and in and his angel and his Father and the holy of angels." Thank you, Lord, for your word. Be seated. So last week we began a journey as Jesus walked out into the dusty roads leading down from Galilee through Samaria and then way around in what we would call Jordan today, down to the Dead Sea area, and then turning up that dry desert road up through the hills past Jericho into Jerusalem. And what we are designing to do as we lead up to Easter is to walk with Jesus and to especially hear the teachings that he gave his disciples. You know, my father was a very good and kind man, but he's also a stern man. You can be both, you know. And one thing I learned about my father is that he would be talking to us about something, but the things that he said towards the conclusion of his conversation were the things that you wanted to pay special attention to. And it is also true, I believe, with Jesus, as he's leaving the area where he grew up and where most of his ministry happened, and he knows what lays ahead of him in Jerusalem. He knows that the crowd will cheer at first, but he also knows they'll kill him. He knows all those things, and he's got these trusted servants, even as you are his trusted servants. Did you hear that? Even as you are his trusted servants. Think about it. That's who you are. And as he's speaking to them, he wants to impress upon them things that he wants them to remember for sure, to practice, and to teach. And he first is very honest with him. You know, when you come to Christ, things do not always get easier. Did you know that? Especially as the devil looks at you. When you come to Christ, in a way, it's like putting a bullseye on your body. And you will be a target then. I always say, you know, there's people out here that are living apart from Christ, serving only themselves. The devil doesn't care about them. The devil doesn't care about churches that are indifferent to the real minister of the gospel. They're no problem. They're no threat. But when a person surrenders their life to Jesus Christ and a church surrenders its will to his will, then you cause to arise at him wrath. You cause the devil to be upset with you and to target you. My dear friend who's now with the Lord, I mention him often. Oh, I look forward when you get to heaven and meeting him. My friend Steve Bargo used to say, "When I became a Christian, things did not in this world get easier." His wife, whom he loved, decided that his devotion to discipleship was just more than she could stand, and she left him. Many of his friends abandoned him. And even at the end, he suffered a debilitating disease. But he said, "Even in all this, I have a rock. Even in all this, I have a rock." But believers, Jesus tells us that to follow him is to take up a cross. the cross that he gives you. Now, I had a lady in my church one time. She never came to church. She'd go to all the women's clubs meetings and all the other things she liked to go to. But she told me her back hurt too bad. I don't know why it only hurt on Sunday. But she said her back hurt too bad. And she says, "Oh, my lumbago." You know, that's an old-time term for back pain. "Oh, my lumbago, it is such a cross." And I finally had it up to my eyeballs with that facetiousness. And I said, "Miss Annie, your lumbago is not a cross." Everybody, believers and unbelievers, have lumbago. I even have a touch of it myself now that I've gotten older, Ray. And but I said, it keeps you from serving Christ. I said, it would be a cross if you serve Christ in spite of the pain. Well, she decided she didn't like me as a preacher anymore and went to the Lutheran church. But that's all right. She needed to hear that, and we all need to hear that. If we are going to follow Christ, we will have crosses to bear. Some of it's physical, some of it's emotional, some of it's even spiritual. Some of it is going to involve rejection, as it did my friend, and even those blessed saints in the Middle East who are being martyred. It may involve death. But in spite of the cross, we receive it from Christ and we follow him. Take up your cross and follow him. Remember our brother Charlie Campbell, some of you went on the mission trip, and we were so blessed to have him for that wonderful week of revival. What a dramatic life and he has in Christ. He told a story when I was preaching when he was preaching, and I was visiting my son Jim down at his church, about when he was a missionary in the Philippines. You know, that's where he spent most of his ministry. He said there was a man who came 5 miles early one morning to be baptized and for a service, and he went 5 miles back home. And then that afternoon, he walked the 5 miles back for the afternoon service and fellowship time, and then he walked the 5 miles home. And he had but one leg. He hopped all the way. That cross, that physical injury became a testimony, didn't it? And we probably said, "Oh, would I have faith like that? Would I take that cross that man has?" But Jesus is telling every one of us, and we will all face those crosses. We will all face those things that stand in the way of following him. But we take those crosses up for him, and we follow him wherever he goes. And then he goes on to give us this advice, and I want to center my message upon that portion today. The words that he tells us. To give a life, to lose a life, that we might be saved. You know, there are two kinds of people, two classes, and only two classes in the whole world. There are people who are dying to themselves and living under Christ, and those that are not. And the whole process of our life's walk together, as brothers and sisters, is to encourage us to leave anything in ourselves behind that does not enable us to faithfully serve and glorify Christ. And we need to encourage each other in that. And we need to pray that the Lord will lead us in that. That we might reach the place where the Apostle Paul says, it is no longer I live. In other words, what he's saying is that my agenda and my personal wants are not of the thing of great importance. It's not that I live, but that Christ lives in me. That everything within me shows His love, shows His mercy, shows His grace, shows His caring. And we want to die to any selfishness or any bitterness or anything that does not point to Jesus. It is the matter of what we are truly investing in our lives for and in. Jesus, over in the Gospel of Matthew, admonishes us, and it ties right into this, that he says, don't lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth. But where rust and moth and thieves and the IRS come in and steal. Oh, he didn't say IRS, but that might apply. But he said, rather, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth or rust or thief, none of those things, are able to touch it. So in losing our life, we gain it. And the way we lose our life is to obediently follow and to seek those treasures in our life that are of heaven. And you know, people spend a lot of time reflecting over their investment portfolios, you know. I remember many years ago, my wife said, as far, not Elizabeth, but my first wife said, let's go to this free steak lunch and all of yada yada. And she says, it's free. Well, first of all, being a Scot, I know nothing's free. There's a catch to everything. And so I agreed to go, and sure enough, it was some fellow trying to sell us some annuities. And not that annuities are bad things. I had suspicions about this company, and they were later in a financial collapse proven justified. But people go at lengths to study and to spend and to discipline themselves to gain security in this world, don't they? And there's nothing wrong with that. You want to be responsible with your money and what you have so that you're not a burden to other people and you can help other people who truly are burdened, you see. But nonetheless, I think that there are people that are so anxious about material things that it leads them astray. So anxious about having wealth in this world that they get deceived. And that's a danger even for believers. You know, the selling of this farm is kind of a lesson for me. Now, my mother used to always tell me not to worry, and I try not to worry. And she says, you know, if you worry, start to pray, then the worry goes away. She knew that you couldn't pray and worry at the same time. But I think about, you know, my old age, and especially if something happens to me, where would Elizabeth go? And you know, those are worldly concerns, and they were real. And I was worried about that for months and months. We tried to get that property sold, and I was starting to get down about it. And, you know, I confess that was a sin to get down about that. You know, I still sin. And then at the hour I least expected, the Lord seems to have taken care of it. Not that He wouldn't take care of it if we never sold it. I'd have moved in with Eddie. But you think you got a grocery bill now. But anyway, the point is that God has His eye upon us. And where we invest our life is where our life really is. And so if we're wise investors, we want to invest in surety, don't we? We want to be sure in our investment. Absolute guaranteed. Incidentally, I do business with Northwestern Insurance. You may know that company. I do investing with them, and they've been a pretty sure company. But they can fail too, you know. Who is it that never fails? Jesus. Jesus never fails. And as we commit our life and the important things of our life unto Him, as we give them to Him, As we lay up treasures in heaven, we are being wise investors. And what are those things? Well, some of those things. Well, first off, it is we're laying up treasures when we worship and honor the Lord. May I say to you all gathered here today, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that worshiping Him and honoring Him on the Sabbath day is important to you. In spite of what you might have rather done, you're here giving Him honor, giving Him glory. And you know the Lord desires that of His people. Worship on the Sabbath and worship all times, not just on the Sabbath, is a part of laying treasures up, because as we worship Him sincerely, aren't we really laying our life before Him? Isn't that what real worship is? Coming into His presence and laying our life before Him. You're laying up a treasure this morning in heaven. Don't forget that. And there's so many other ways that we lay up treasures in heaven, that we are wise investors. We do God honor, and we are blessed as we seek to grow in faith and in understanding. You know, the Lord wants us to be in His presence. He wants us to know what He has taught us through His holy word. He wants us to know the life of His Son and all that His Son taught. He wants that for us. And that involves us being involved in study and desiring to know more of Him and more of Him. And that is laying a treasure up for us in heaven, because when we arrive in heaven, God will say to us, blessed are you because you've hungered and thirsted after the righteousness all your life. You've laid this treasure up. And the deeds of love and mercy we do. Believers, love one another. Help one another, encourage one another, protect one another, lift one another up. But not only one another. Jesus loved the lost and dying world, didn't He? That's why He came. And the deeds of love and mercy that we show to unbelievers is laying a treasure up in heaven. Those things do not pass God's notice. Those things we do in the name of Christ. Now, I know this is going to shock you all. Money is going to really shock you all. Every once in a while, I give money to people begging on the street. Do you ever do that? Now, I don't know what they use it for. That's between them and the Lord. But every once in a while, the Holy Spirit moves me to do that. Every once in a while, I'm in a situation where, a while back, a waitress was talking to me, and Liz and I started talking to her about the Lord, and she was very much pregnant, and she was just so open to what we had to say about the Lord, and so I gave her a tip, and then I gave her $50, and I said, I want to be the person who buys your new baby its first Bible. And she says, oh, thank you, as they always do. Beggars on the street will say thank you. But I always say, as Dr. Stanley E. Stanley Jones, the great Methodist evangelist of India, would say, don't thank me, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, for this is from Him. That's why you want to answer people when they thank you for doing godly things. Don't thank me, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's because of Him I give. And you walk away, and it's different, because when you walk away, then they don't think, gee, Kevin is such a nice guy, which he is, I tell you, right, Barbara? He's a nice guy. But when you walk away, people don't just say, Kevin's a nice guy. They will say, Kevin must know a wonderful person named Jesus. You see, you want to leave Jesus and not yourself. You've died yourself. What does Jesus say? Well, when you do good things just to get noticed, don't expect any reward in heaven. He said that, you know. He said, don't do your works for men to get their praise, because if you do, you've got your praise already. But what he says is, do it in secret, or do it in the name of the Lord. Don't make a big announcement like the Pharisees going to the temple. Do it quietly before the Lord and lay up what? Treasure in heaven. So it's through these deeds of love and mercy done in the name of Jesus Christ that we are doing good investment. And the working to extend Christ's kingdom is another way. Whether you're doing it personally here in Lakeview, and I hope you are, or whether you're doing it like these saints that are sacrificing their vacation, they're forgetting themselves and going down to the Dominican Republic. They're forgetting spending money on something they might have wanted to spend money to go down there. They're laying up treasures in heaven. Even as you who supported them have laid up treasures in heaven, because God's kingdom is being extended. Oh, maybe not much, but you know, if one person on that trip leads somebody to Christ, something eternal happened. And when you witness to someone in a way and you lead them to Christ, something eternal has happened. Laying up treasures in heaven. And we don't do it to gain praise. We don't want that. You know, I know with all my heart what a wicked person I am. And I know that any good that's ever come out of my life didn't come out because of me. It came out because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything good. The bad is mine. I repent of it and getting rid of a lot of it, but the bad is mine. But the good is of Christ, and I know that. And I think every believer knows that, don't we? And so, therefore, it is him that gets the glory. So it's not for our glory. It's not even for our salvation. We're not saved because of our works. You cannot do enough good works to get saved. You don't have enough time, enough wisdom, enough power. You are saved because Christ in his godly, everlasting mercy calls you to himself through faith, that by your grace you might be saved and not of works. So it's not of salvation. It's not a salvation issue, but it's an issue of thanksgiving. I serve the Lord with thanksgiving because he saved a wretched sinner like me. I serve the Lord with thanksgiving because I should have been condemned and cast into hell, but out of the richness and mercy of his grace, he let me hear the gospel, he empowered me to believe it, and saved my soul for all eternity. That's why we do the good works we do, not because of us, but because of him. For you see, we know that in dying to our way, we live unto his way. And so much as the way runs counter to the old sinful person in us, you know, it does. You know, we don't like to forgive. We don't like to show mercy except when we're on the receiving end. But that just runs counter to us, doesn't it? Oh, that terrible crime committed against the Muslims in New Zealand. I weep for them. Now, you know that I don't believe that Islam is truth. And we know that Islamic people kill 3 times that number every day. You know that. That doesn't mean, though, that we should not show mercy in prayer. You know, it's wrong to kill people. Did you know that? Like those people were killed. And every Christian ought to weep and pray for them. And Ray, I've talked to you so many times, and you keep praying for me. Jesus said we love everybody. Some of those politicians in Washington, I find it hard and hard to love all the time, Ray. Pray for me. But I must do that, you know. Because you see, I don't want to justify myself in my anger. That's going nowhere. I want to live treasure in heaven. that I have loved as my Savior loved. You see, on the road to Jerusalem, he wanted them to know, and he wanted us to know, that we find real life in investing our life in him and his kingdom. That's how you're, it's not a place you're going to find joy and happiness, friends. You think getting that new Mercedes convertible is going to make you happy? It will for about 10 minutes. And then you realize, Lord of mercy, I got to pay the bank $782 every week, every month. Those things don't make you happy. And besides that, if you live long enough, that Mercedes is going to belong to somebody else. No, what makes you happy, what gives you joy, is dying to yourself and following Christ, knowing that your investments are in heaven where nothing can take them away. In this world, the way of the cross is hard. I'd be a liar if I told you otherwise. But it's only in this world, because it will be your crowning joy in the next. You remember, and I'm going to close with this, you remember the scene in the book of Revelations where the altar is surrounded by these people in white robes. You remember that? And John inquires who that is, and that, they are told, are those people who were martyred for the gospel. They were closest to the altar. My friends, you may not believe it, but I know it is true, that those who invest, even at the expense of their own life, their life in the Lord Jesus, are truly blessed. Those people who have set their eye on pleasing and glorifying the Savior that saved them through their daily acts. You know, we are at the difficult. You can give your life for the Lord in 30 seconds, you know that? You can also give it through a lifetime, each day, each moment, giving it to him for his purpose, wherever you are. Blessed are those that have lost their life in Christ, that they may find it eternally. Those are the people that are making not a temporary investment, such as that pitiful sum I have with Northwestern Life, but they are making the investment that is eternal. Wise is the person who hears the gospel, believes it, and follows it. Amen.